This is My Daddy Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, our Area 51 trip is coming up over the Labor Day weekend, which is the end of this month, beginning of September. And we have had several people who have elected to camp out and furnish their own meals, and so just pay the fee for the guided tour, so to speak. And they have assured us that they will follow instructions and not do anything silly or stupid. And that is so important on these kinds of excursions that we have room for some more people. So if you're interested in going on our Area 51 trip, call Connie Franklin tomorrow morning between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. and get the particulars. And that's as far as I'm going to go into it right now. And it's going to be an awful lot of fun. It's going to be educational, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be lucky once again and see something, but we can't guarantee that at all. Understand, that's not guaranteed. Also understand that any fees paid for any excursion conducted by the Harvest Trust is non-refundable under any circumstances whatsoever. And I guess that's about all that we need to say about that. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back after this short pause. Thank you. Okay, today, folks, I need your help. Anybody out there who knows anything about computers, we need your help. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want you to call in and give me some help because I don't know what I'm doing here. We lost our website. We no longer have a website. And those of you who have visited that address lately find that it has nothing to do with Harvest Trust, the Hour of the Time, Worldwide Freedom Network, or anything else. There was a huge rift and betrayal of trust that occurred there. I'm not going to go into the particulars or talk about names or anything like that. You know, once that happens to me, it's not important. Whoever does that to me is forever severed from my circle, and that's all there is to it. But it does mean that we now need to make a website. We are currently looking for website providers, and we found some pretty interesting propositions here. We've also ordered, and it should be here tomorrow, Microsoft Front Page 97, which is, I've talked to several people, and they told me that that's the easiest, least expensive, probably best way to make a website for somebody who doesn't know anything about it, like me. That you can get. If that's not right, then somebody needs to tell me about that when I open the phones. Don't call yet. Let me talk about what we're doing here. I want to make the best website that's ever existed on the web. And folks, you know that with the research we do and all of the things that we do, we're capable of doing that and more. We're capable of exceeding that. We're capable of actually putting together anything that we want if we just know how to do it. Just like everything else, and don't say that I can't, because if you do that, I'll do it so quick and so good it'll make your head swim. I really don't have the time to do this, and that's why I need advice. That's why I need things that make it easier, like Front Page 97, which I've been told will make it easier. And I need a website provider that will help make it easier. And I think I found one. And this is web. It's a web pro site. It's a web pro site package. And the company is out of Dallas, Texas. And let me tell you what they provide. They provide different levels of service, of course, for different levels of prices. And what I need to get, and I don't know what's going to be enough. You see, if we're going to do the best website that we can possibly do, with lots of downloadable stuff, and lots of links, and lots of information, and maybe some real audio, maybe even the Hour of the Time in real audio. I don't know. I'm not promising anything, because I don't know how to do any of this. But I need to know how many megabytes we need to be able to accomplish a huge task like this. And to me, it's a huge task. To some of you out there, it might be easy. Maybe you've done it 100 times. I don't know. But to me, I've never done it, and it seems like a huge task to me. They have website services with 25 megabytes, 50 megabytes, 75 megabytes, 100 megabytes, and 200 megabytes. I can tell you right now, right this moment, 200 megabytes is out of the question because of the price. We can't afford the 25, of course. We can afford the 50. We'll have to stretch it to afford the 75, and we'll have to sacrifice to afford the 100. But if we have to sacrifice to afford the 100 because that's what it takes, then that's what we'll do. I mean, just let me, they everything here. I mean, if we do this, we not only have a website, but we have our own domain name, unlimited incoming email aliases, unlimited web page hits. In other words, they're not going to charge us after so many web page hits like they do on so many others. We'll have autoresponders. We'll have POP mailboxes, whatever that is. We'll have a website manager account, and maybe several manager accounts, depending upon which one of these programs we select, with full FTP telnet access, daily, weekly, and monthly autoresponder reports, daily website statistics reports, and graphics computers running on high-speed internet connection. And this is Unix with T1s, and that's pretty powerful. And I've got some more information about it here. Now, I hope you're listening, because I really do. I'm not pulling your leg. I really need advice on this. I don't know what I'm doing, folks. And so I need your advice. I need your help. Anybody who thinks they want to get involved in this project, we would certainly appreciate that. But understand this. We're not going to farm it out again, because the riff that happened was over an agreement. The agreement made was that if we have an internet site, a website, that's under the name of Harvest Trust and carries my name and reputation with it, then nothing can be posted to that site without my personal or the trustees or another trustee's personal okay, permission. Nothing can be posted to that website without that. And what happened is all of a sudden, some egos got puffed up, and they determined that they were going to post on the website what they damn well pleased without our permission. And when we found out what they were doing and asked them, please, very politely, to take it off, they refused. Even though before they did the website, they had agreed to those terms. And so they betrayed us. And so I issued the... after asking politely twice and then demanding once, then we severed all associations with these people and told them, and in no unequivocal terms whatsoever, to take all reference to Harvest Trust, anything that we do, anything that we have done or have for sale, or any of our information, transcripts, everything off that website, because we just cannot do that. And they broke our trust. And when you break trust with me, folks, you have broken everything. Absolutely everything. Now, since they were paying for the website, it was okay if they had called me and said, Bill, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to have Harvest Trust on here anymore. We want to have our own website and put what we want on. That would have been fine, but that's not what they did. They went ahead and put what they wanted on, and then we asked it to be taken off according to the previous agreement. And the agreement was that there would be no website unless they understood that condition 100%. And they decided to violate it and ignore our request. And so that's Basically, that's what happened there, folks. You see, it's not what they put on the website that matters. That you know, has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's the fact that we had an agreement in trust, that they would not sully our good name by posting something to the website that we could not or would not support. Without our express permission, nothing would be posted to the website. The problem that arose is that they broke our trust. And when we called their attention to the agreement that we had made and the trust that we had put into them, and they still failed to remove the offending material from the website, then, in our estimation, it showed that they had no personal honor. In other words, their word was no good, meant nothing. The agreement meant nothing from the start. So there will be no one else taking care of this website. You can help if you want to, but the website will be under our complete control so that this will never, ever happen again. And a word to the wise, for those of you who are affiliated with us, if you ever break our trust, if you ever demonstrate to us that we can no longer trust you, that your word is no good, that you have no personal honor, then we will also sever all relationships with you. You see, most of you, you know, think that this is of some inconsequential matter. And you're not standing in our shoes. Where you live and where you work and what you do, you can interface with an awful lot of people who break their word, who make agreements and don't keep them, who have no honor whatsoever. And it doesn't matter because there's nothing hanging in the balance. They can't hurt you. You're just social acquaintances for the most part. But ladies and gentlemen, because of what I do, my life and the lives of my family are on the line all the time here. And we must be able to absolutely trust everyone who is in any association with us whatsoever. And if we can't, we must be able to sever all relationships with those people immediately in order to maintain our safety. And that's really what it's all about. This is the age of deception. We cannot have deceptive people around us. So I'm going to open the phones, and what I need is those of you who think you can help us with this website or at least provide some information or have some experience. Number one, I need to know something about front page 97. I need to know if you think that the website provider that I just read you these things from is good. And, you know, I didn't really tell you the whole thing. There's a long list of services that they provide here that's absolutely incredible, at least to me. I went on the web for the last 2 or 3 days exploring literally all the website providers that I could find. Doesn't mean that I found them all, because you know how searching the web is, folks. It depends upon your search parameters and your keywords and all that kind of stuff, and it's very easy to miss an awful lot of what you're looking for. You all know that if you've ever experienced searching the web. And then 6 months down the line, you'll find one that was always there, of something that you were looking for, but, you know, you just didn't hit the right parameter and you didn't find it until a long time later, and usually it's by accident. So I'm going to open the phone, 520-333-4578 right now, and I need some advice for those of you who have done websites, those of you who are engaged in computer stuff, those of you who know anything about this or anything about Front Page 97, I need your help. And if you could call in and sort of give me some advice on this, I would be and will be most appreciative. The number is 520-333-4578, and we'll take your calls just as soon as we start to get them. I don't know if there's anybody listening who's ever done this before. Maybe you haven't. Let me tell you some of the things that this web service provider will do for us. They'll give us megabytes of storage, I've already told you, in either 25, 50, 75, 100, or 200. The 200's out. We cannot afford that. Web page access is on 3 high-speed T1 Unix computers with no traffic charges whatsoever, which, from what I understand, searching the net is a pretty good deal. Incoming mail aliases under your domain name is unlimited. Websites, Telnet accounts with email, 24-hour direct FTP, and Telnet access. Email autoresponders with reporting. Depends upon how many megs of storage you buy. And you can either get 20 autoresponders, 30 autoresponders, 50, 75, or 200. Mailboxes for POP mail or for alias forwarding. 20, 30, 50, 75, or 200. This alias forwarding might benefit us in the long run in gathering and disseminating information. Additional mailboxes are available. It doesn't say how many. I imagine that depends upon what your need is and would probably cost extra. There's a one-time setup fee. If we pay for 12 months in advance, we get pretty good discounts. I mean, real deep discounts. So that's probably what we'll elect to do. We get a full 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So during the first 60 days, if we're not satisfied with this provider, we can just cancel the whole thing. Front page 97 is available, and that's why we ordered that, because of the recommendations that I had, and because this provider has front page 97 available to use on the server. We get our own domain name. We get our own domain answers to both URLs with and without the www prefix so that people even by accident should be able to find us. We get 3 high-speed full T1s with 3 different providers. We get the daily backups of all of our information. 17 state-of-the-art professional high-speed silicon graphics computers to make sure that our pages load quickly and are readily available. We have the ability to capture return email addresses with autoresponders, 24-hour direct access via Telnet and FTP, email forwarding for all mailboxes. We can change passwords anytime we want to, and we can. There's an easy-to-use point-and-click web browser menu for setting up and changing the website when we want to. There are image maps. We get our own CGI directory. The system has PERL 5.002C, C++, and Java compilers, and I don't know anything about that. Don't even know what it means. If you do, please tell me. We get an anonymous FTP directory. We get password-protected web pages, automatic daily email reports, automatic weekly email reports, and monthly email reports. We get 24-hour automated monitoring. We get daily web page graphical statistics of our website. We get 24-hour management of all autoresponders with point-and-click menu. We get a 24-hour report on demand of all autoresponders' activity. All major credit cards are accepted, so we can do business with credit cards, which we've always refrained from doing in the past. And we have learned that we're never going to change the minds of the sheeple on use of credit cards, and it's cost us an awful lot of business, so we probably will accept credit cards. I don't see any difference in that and selling Oklahoma City day one through an 800 number that accepts credit cards. I mean, that's the same thing in my estimation. We can resell links and pages on our website. And we'll have ready to run form reply CGI script, ready to run counter and clock CGI script, ready to run rotating banner ad script, ready to run Java applets, ready to run animated GIFs. We'll get a listing in the top 16 search databases, and of course, we'll either do it ourselves or go to somebody who will do it for us in all of the other search databases. And we'll get credit card encryption. There's one-time setup for that, and it's all included. We can also get a 30% discount for the purchase of multiple websites or multiple secure server accounts, and also for reseller purchases. And if we want to be a reseller, all we have to do is notify them, And then we can do that. We can get additional email autoresponders. We can get additional email mailboxes. And these, you know, there's additional fees for these. But if we ever need them, we can get them. We can get additional manager accounts under our domain name for an additional $10 per month if we ever need it. We can get an additional 10 megabytes of storage for $10 a month if we ever need it, in increments of 10 megabytes, up to however much we want to pay for if we ever need it. And if we want them to design our website for us, we can have them do that, but it's expensive, $45 an hour, and I'd rather do that ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, if we can figure out how to do it, and if the front page 97 turns out to be all that it's been cracked up to be. So, if you'd like to call and give us some advice, if you've ever done web pages on the internet, if you know anything about this, if you want to comment on what I read about the server provider, it's really a virtual server is what we're buying when we buy this. The biggest question I've got is how many megabytes do we need to be able to put up a number one, top-notch website with lots and lots of information and links? Because that I don't know. Like I said, we can get them in increments of 25, 50, 75, 100, or 200. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Greg from Indiana.
Hi, Greg. Can you help us out in this?
I can help you a little bit. I'm not an expert on web pages.
Well, I got a pen and paper here, so anything that you can help us with.
I have two web pages that I do. They're both mostly text.
Okay.
And my internet provider has limited us in the past to 1 meg, which is a lot of space for just text.
Yeah.
Text and simple GIF files, which would be like bars and colored icons.
Uh-huh.
When you start getting into photographs and larger images, like photograph-like images.
We probably will.
Okay, JPEGs. Which is a common JPEG and GIF are probably the two most common picture and image formats on the internet.
Okay.
Those can get fairly large in size depending upon how much information is in them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't JPEG a compression program for images?
JPEG is I'm probably going to use the wrong terms here, but I'm going to try and answer that as best I can.
Okay.
I might be incorrect here, but JPEG is a compressed image standard.
Okay. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I didn't mean program. I'm sorry. I said program, didn't I?
Yeah.
What I meant is a compression standard for images.
Yeah.
GIF is not. GIF is not compressed at all.
I'm not sure if it's compressed or not, but it's. GIF has been around for a long time, so that might have... GIF goes back to before the invention of the IBM PC.
Uh-huh.
So I would be willing to bet that it's probably not compressed.
Okay. I don't think it is, because I've used GIF before in the big, big files.
Right.
If you have a big picture that you've scanned it at a maximum resolution.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever worked with JPEG files. I really don't.
Well, you're probably not going to be able to tell the difference once you've downloaded the image and it's uncompressed on your screen.
Uh-huh.
You're probably the only difference is going to be in the size, the amount of memory that it takes up either in memory in the computer or on the hard drive if you store it.
Yeah, that's what we're concerned about.
Okay,
one of my
you
big
have a lot of pictures, you're going to burn up a lot of hard disk space.
But how much space? I mean, you know, we have four possibilities that we can purchase: 25 meg, 50 meg, 75 meg, and 100 meg. And
yes.
I have had no experience with web pages on the internet, and I know we're going to have a lot of information, a lot of text files. We're going to have pictures. We're going to have probably a newsletter or sections of Veritas. So we might even publish Veritas, you know, like an issue late on the internet or something like that. We may even have some video. We probably will have, if we can figure out how to do it, some real audio.
Real audio is something that, I've never put on my webpage, and I don't know how big those files are. One other thing that, you said that caught my ear, or that I was wondering, and I'm a Macintosh user, so I'm not familiar with how this is done on the PC, but I know on, the Mac you have to have the HTML editor, which you said you have gotten or will get.
It should be delivered tomorrow. We ordered it today, overnight delivery by Federal Express. We understand that it could be late and maybe not be here till Saturday or Monday because of the UPS strike. Federal Express is overloaded. But we're hopeful that it will be here tomorrow so that we can begin to learn to use it and start working on the web pages over the weekend, and at least have a head start in assembling the web pages. Even $300 or $400 rather than making monthly payments.
Are you going to need an additional program to upload the contents of the page to the web service provider?
I don't know. You see, that's what's good about me asking you guys for advice. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I just assumed that FrontPage would do it.
I don't know if it will or not, but I know on the Macintosh I use PageMill.
Yeah.
And I had to download a shareware program called Fetch, F-E-T-C-H.
Uh-huh. Was that specifically for PageMill? PageMill is Adobe, isn't it?
Yes. No, I think the language that is created by PageMill or the Microsoft product that you're getting is the same.
What I meant is PageMill is an Adobe product.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I believe the language that the file is saved in is going to be the same.
Yeah, well, it should be. It should be HTML no matter what we use, right?
Right. Okay. So, anyway, that's something to look into, and you might want to call the Internet service provider that you're looking at to see what software you'll need to upload or whether it's included with the package that you purchased.
Okay.
Okay, just some average-sized JPEGs that I have on my page right now.
Yeah.
Now, these were taken with a Kodak digital camera. Okay. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah.
Their littlest one, I think it's the DC20.
Uh-huh.
And these are outdoor pictures, so they have things and trees and grass.
Okay.
The sizes of them, and this is a guideline that you can use to kind of estimate how much space you'll need.
Okay.
I'll just kind of run down them here. Here's one that was taken indoors, which is 215K.
Okay.
And I have another one here that's 198K. And another one that's 165K. And those are just average, medium resolution pictures.
Are they JPEG?
Yes, these are JPEG.
Oh, so they are compressed.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can calculate then if you want to know how much space you're going to need, take, let's say, 250K and
uh-huh.
multiply by the number of pictures, or like, let's say, 4 pictures per meg.
Okay.
That would give you just a place to start.
Okay. Well, that's promising because, you know, while we'll have pictures on the website, we're not going to have, I can see right now, we're not going to have too many. If it comes out like you've just told us, we're going to be all right as far as pictures go. And text, you can put a lot of text in 1 megabyte.
Yeah.
So far that's looking good. It's the other things, especially like if we have some movies on there,
what kind? There's several formats.
Well, we have some incredible video footage that nobody's ever seen in this world.
Uh-huh.
That we are thinking of making available, and has nothing to do with the Oklahoma City bombing or Waco or anything like that. These are other videos that we've come up with in the course of investigations that we've conducted. Some of them involve UFOs, and some of them are other things not connected with UFOs, but extremely revealing and interesting. I don't think anybody has ever seen, unless they've ordered it from us, the complete, unedited, and with no frames missing Zapruder film. We may want to put that whole thing on there.
And I would put, well, yeah, you put the whole thing on there. A lot of it isn't worth watching.
Well, the thing is, though, see, nobody's ever seen the whole unedited version, the actual film as it was shot. Uh-huh. We have that. And the minute that I start editing it or taking something out, even though it's uninteresting in that portion, then I'm doing what everybody else has done.
Right.
So if we put it on the web, we're going to put it in its entirety, exactly as it exists. I think we could do it if we compressed it and didn't try to make it into some big, fantastically, incredibly resolution-type thing and made it come up in a small window. Even in that kind of format, it would still be something that people have never seen before.
That would be one heck of a big file.
Yeah.
And there were some other points that you were asking, or if there were some other things that you said, the specs that the internet service provider had listed that you weren't sure about, were there?
Yeah, some of those things, I don't even know what they're talking about. I have no idea at all.
Okay, the CGI thing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, what is that?
Pardon me?
What is that?
That is one of the functions of the internet service provider that provides, gosh, I don't know how to explain this. I mean, I know what it does because I use it on mine. I know when you have a counter on your webpage to show how many hits are there.
Yeah.
That works through the CGI portion.
Okay.
Of the internet service provider software.
Uh-huh.
And I know there are other functions that it serves, I think, that are relating to, like, displaying the time on the person's, the time and date on the user's screen.
Yeah.
But they may have started switching some of those functions over to Java, which I believe is a newer, more up-to-date way of doing that.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, I read this Perl 5.002, C, C++, and Java compilers. Are those programming tools? Is that what those are?
Well, C and C++ are programming languages.
Okay. And is that what Java is also?
Java, like HTML, is a language with its own unique set of functions that control portions of the user's screen.
Yeah.
Now, what they do beyond that, I don't know. I don't know when I'm looking at, when I'm on the internet and the internet page is, the web page is manipulating my computer, I don't know which things are or are not Java, but I know some of the things. Let me start over. I am reasonably sure that some of the things that are related to Java would be like scrolling text across the bottom
okay.
of the screen.
You mean like banners, advertising banners or something?
Not necessarily. Some of those are just GIFs. But okay. I think that some of the animated and moving text things are Java.
Okay.
And there's probably a lot more features related to that language, which...
You know,
I probably not use that often.
It's nice to know what this is and what they're offering us for what we're paying, but since I'm not a programmer, and I don't know anybody who is...
You don't need to be a programmer. That's why you bought that software. You don't need, all you need to be is a word processor.
Yeah, but when they're talking about they're going to make available these compilers, isn't that programming stuff?
Well, you see, you put those routines into your code, which makes up your page,
uh-huh.
and then the rest of the work is really done in the computer of the person who's looking at your web page.
Oh, I see.
It enables routines that are in the receiving end of the web page.
So all I'm doing is just saying I want this to happen here on this page.
Right. Well, you go on the internet. What software do you use?
Internet Explorer.
Okay, I'm not real familiar with that one, but there's probably, if you click on, let me see, you have a menu bar across the top, and one of those menus that says edit.
Yes.
Okay, if you go down, I believe it's going to be there because it's there on Netscape, on the Macintosh. It look for like HTML source or view source.
I think it says view source, yeah.
Okay, click on that and then just print that screen.
Okay.
And then undo that and return it to its normal image. Do that on a page that you're familiar with.
Uh-huh.
Like one of the, whatever page you're familiar with that you go to regularly.
Okay.
Then look, it will show you the use of Java, if there is any, or any of the, applet octet things for clocks or messages or whatever else they use that for. And also the use of CGI. You'll see that it's a plain English language.
Okay.
And it's really not hard to pick up. You can probably write your own web page because, and I'm sorry for changing the subject, but when you see how it's done, you'll see it's a lot less magical and mysterious than it appears.
Yeah, but the problem is I really don't have time to learn that kind of stuff.
Well, you see, that's why you spend the money on that software, so you don't have to learn that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You just have to know what it is that you want to do. And you see, this is why I wouldn't say that I would do start your page for you, because I have no artistic ability, and I think you need to have that in order to have a page that people are going to want to look at.
Uh-huh.
Because all I do is just basically text with colored bars and maybe a frame or two. That's all I want to do.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what most of the pages on the web are, really.
Well, a lot of them have fancy backgrounds. And
yeah, there are some that obviously some people spend a great deal of time and designing. And
right. And I'm not interested in that. And all those things do is slow you down anyway, slow down loading them.
Yeah.
The web page that you had up, I liked it because you could get to any part of it quickly, and it always returned you to where you started.
Uh-huh. Well, it is no more. I mean, there's a web page there, but it's not our web page
at all.
And none of our stuff is on it.
What you had before was great as far as I was concerned, because it got you the information that you wanted without lots of pretty pictures and fancy colors.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reason why you can't do that yourself, because all you have to do is create the image on the screen and save it and then upload it to the Internet service provider.
Well, we're certainly going to try our best, and we're going to try our best to make something that's really, really fantastic for people to go to, and productive, which it has to be productive to me.
If you want to see what a small plain text page looks like, Bill, I can give you my amateur call sign, and you can do a search on Yahoo.
Okay.
If you want to see what the memory sizes that I gave you for pictures taken with an electronic camera.
Okay, give me that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just do a. It should still be there. It was last time I checked. My amateur call is phonetically Kilo Fox 9 Mike Paca. Just do a search on Yahoo, and I know what's going to happen. I'm going to hang up the phone, and I'm going to go check it, and it won't work.
Well, if it doesn't work, it's probably the 500 people. 500 people will be calling it because you put it on the air.
No, I doubt that.
Well, they just,
because there isn't anything of interest to
you underestimate the curiosity of the average American.
Okay, well, there's a counter there, so if it happens, I'll know it. But yeah. I doubt that's going to happen because there isn't anything there that's of interest to anybody but amateurs and folks into transistors like me.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, if you want to see a bare bones, basic, easy to do, I mean, you could do this web page by yourself, Bill, in a Sunday afternoon.
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to do it myself. I really do. I'm looking forward to this. It's just that I don't want to go into it without some good advice like you've just given me, and maybe some other people might be able to give.
Okay. Well, if you want to look at that page, if that address will take you there, look at it. And if you're interested in any more information from me, my email address is there. Just email me, and I'll tell you. Whatever I can answer, and
okay.
What I don't know, I'll tell you that I don't know.
Great.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care.
And thanks a lot for the call. And thank you for your advice and for sharing your experience with me. And I think you've helped quite a bit, especially with the size of the photo files and a couple of other things that you mentioned. And thanks for the encouragement, saying that I could do it myself in a Sunday afternoon, because I've heard from other people it's not that easy. And it takes quite a while to build these pages. But anyway, I will find out. The number is 520-333-4578. If you'd like to jump in here and give me some advice on this and help me out, I certainly would appreciate it. I need it. Regardless of what you think of my ability by listening to this broadcast, remember, I'm just an ordinary person like you. And when I go off into something I've never done before, I'm just like everybody else. I'm lost. And the way you learn things is by listening to other people and doing it and gaining experience and making mistakes and all kinds of things like that. So if you've done it and you've made some mistakes and you've learned and you know anything about this at all, I would sure like to hear from you right now and get your input on what I need to be doing. But, you know, I still haven't got the question answered. Am I spending too much money if we get a website with 100 megabytes of storage space? Do we only need 50 or 75? I can pretty well imagine that 25 megabyte is not enough. So the toss-up is between 50, 75, or 100 if you really want to get down to it, or maybe 200, although we may be able to jump up to 200 sometime in the future. We can't do that right now. We just can't afford it. The 200 megabyte website is too much money, and we don't have that much money. 100 megabyte is going to push the envelope, but if we have to, we can do that. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. You still doing that show with the page? I'm kind of getting a rebroadcast, and I don't know if I'm...
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You're not getting a rebroadcast. It's happening now.
No, I mean, I'm in Indiana.
That's fine. It's happening now.
Okay.
You're listening
so
now.
I'm sure if I was going to get...
It's real time.
Okay.
Can you help us out?
What?
Can you help us out with this?
Yes. The way you're talking about doing it with the getting a pseudo server and all that,
uh-huh.
We can do it for a lot less money. I mean, if you're worried about like storage capacity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The server called geocities.com.
Called what?
Geocities.com.
Can you spell that for me?
GeoCities.com.
Okay.
You can get 2 megabytes for free. You can't get like a CGI director and all that other stuff.
Uh-huh.
But if you use like, if you know how to use Java or you know somebody who does, or you can pay somebody who does, you don't need to worry about CGI. Because almost everything you can do, you need to do that with, you can do out of either JavaScript or Java Logic.
Okay, take a deep breath. You're really nervous. And
I just ran up the stairs.
Oh.
Yeah, because I sat there waiting for like...
Then you're not nervous, you're exhausted.
Yeah, I sat there waiting for like 20 minutes for you to get the number.
Wow. Okay, so it's geocities.com?
Yeah. There's another one called angelfire.com.
Angelfire.
Like free hosting pages. I mean, that's the top pages for it.
Uh-huh.
If you need FTP stuff, like you know, if you want a direct access to an FTP server,
uh-huh.
You can get it at tripod.com. They're free hosting. They have free hosting for web pages, and their upload thing lets you get it at your FTP, I guess kind of a, well, I don't know what to call it, I don't know the term for it, but it's like a kind of a thing on the server.
Why are these guys giving free web spaces?
Well, what they do is they advertise.
Oh, they advertise on your web pages?
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a way you can, like with GeoCities, if you want like more memory space,
uh-huh.
Or you want a banner on other people's web pages that are on the GeoCities server, you can do a program that lets you... like put a banner on your page for somebody else's GeoCities web page.
Yeah.
And every time somebody clicks on it, you mass up these points. You need so many of them. Your banner is displayed on somebody else's page.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And usually they won't. I mean, Tripod does. I mean, but I'm having trouble with their HTML editor anyway. A lot of these places already have their own HTML editors.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you know the basics of HTML, which is really an easy language anyway. I mean, pick it up a few hours of determined study. You can, you know, write your own web page just like that.
You know, what we have, though, is going to take a lot more megs than 1 or 2 or 3 megs.
Okay, yeah. You can get a housing or hosting, like, for more than just the 2 megs.
Uh-huh.
At GeoCities, if you have a high enough circulation, you can get, like, 200 megs, I think. Oh. Don't quote me on that. But
so what I should really do is just go visit these people and see what they have. Yeah, you know, I did a search on web pages, web page providers, all of these kinds of things, and not one of these three came up with it.
They're hard to find.
Yeah. I knew I missed a lot. I knew that.
Yeah. HTML is, okay, I'm just going to give you like an idea of how easy it is to use some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay, HTML is like a text markup language. If you want, like, say you want to have bold text on the screen, something in big bold text, what you do is you put like a left hand sign, then like font size equal plus 3, then you put a right bracket, so you put another left hand sign, I keep saying right bracket, I'm sorry, and then another left hand sign, and what other effects are they trying to get? I'm sorry. Oh, bold. Then you write this bold. So
what you're trying to say, it's like DOS basic.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy. Most of it is just putting, uses tags, which is like a text or a little bit of text or a word or something,
uh-huh,
inside of a, like a left hand sign on one side and a greater than sign on the other. And you want to end that by putting a left hand sign, then slash, then whatever word you use to turn it on, the greater than or whatever the other one is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. I don't know what the code is, but it sounds like something like the old BASIC used to be when we were all using DOS computers.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, it's easier than that. You don't need to know. I mean, unless you want to use, like, extended. Okay, they talked about going on movies and animations and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of easier ways than to do it than movie files. Or I guess they're not easier. They're simpler if you really look at them, but... I'm sorry, I'm talking computer philosophy, I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm not really versed in all of that stuff, so...
Okay.
So,
movie files, well, there's a couple formats. One of them is a .mov file. It's like not compressed, it's a simple data stream.
Uh-huh.
Now, okay, you can cut like two-thirds of those images out. Store the others on your page as .gif or .jpeg files. And then have a Java app that loads each one, morphs it to the next by, you know, just simple morphing. I mean, it's a common thing. Morphs it to the next one, and then loads the next one, morphs it to that one. Thing is, that can be pretty slow.
Yeah.
You need fast connections for it.
But what's wrong with MPEG? Or
I don't know. I haven't seen that one used very much.
I think you can use video with MPEG and JPEG, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Can you do it with GIFs too? It's just simple animation.
Yeah.
It's animated files. And there's another way. If you really want to compress stuff, which you compress it with a file like TKZIP, and then decompress it. If you're using CGI scripts, decompress it server side with the unzipping and the TK unzip, which is the other side of that program.
Mm-hmm.
And you can save it like as being pretty small, and then bring it up, and it's much bigger.
I see.
It just stores it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be operating in memory then?
Now what? Okay.
Wouldn't it be operating in RAM then?
Yeah, you just run them on the server.
Yeah. Okay.
Server RAM.
Okay.
And I guess that does soak up memory, but it's still though. I mean, are you sure you're going to go with a pseudo server?
Well, I'm not sure about anything right now. That's why I wanted to do this today, was to ask about this. The thing that attracted me to this is you get so much, and the payment is actually reasonable.
Autoresponders.
Pardon?
Are you going to be getting, 4 million email messages every day that you need to respond?
You would be amazed how much email I get every day. Yes, we're going to get a lot of email, and we'll probably have mailboxes available for some of our people that might need them and things like that. Yeah.
Email. I have, for example, I have three email addresses. I only use two of them. One of them is GeoCities. When you get a GeoCities page, they also give you an email address. It's a POP, that's a POP mail thing. So you need your own program to view it, like a Netscape will do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and don't take this personally, but get a real browser, Netscape, or I'm sorry, but... You can get it for free.
That's okay. We're not computer geniuses around here.
sorry.
And we don't know anything about Netscape or anything else. We got what we got because it came with the computers in Windows 95, and it's cheap.
Yeah, a lot of people default Windows.
Yeah, and it cost us no money for Internet Explorer. It was there.
Netscape for free. I think you can get up to 3.02, the beta version of it.
Uh-huh.
Don't ask is that a free tool? I don't know, but it's like a free, usually the freebies.
Yeah.
So you can get them netscape.com.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll have like software that you can get all kinds of like, you can, I think you can get like server programs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let us through the servers. All they are is a little computer. Like, a lot of people like to use Aptiva.
Not this. This is not a little computer. This is a big Unix operation with
and it's a massive, expensive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've already looked into that. This is not somebody's little computer somewhere. This is a big.
But you can do it with a little itty bitty computer though. That's the thing.
Well, you probably can.
PGIs are a little bit harder.
Uh huh.
You need to get a profile interpreter. You need to get like Netscape pseudo server programs are probably the best I've seen. I really haven't seen it used very much. But
well, if we do that, that means we have to have the server here. We can't afford the phone charges for that.
Internet lines are incredibly cheap.
Not here.
Where we
live in up in the mountains. It's really rural, and to even get a regular phone line is a big deal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's your closest server, do you know?
It's 50 miles away.
Oh, yeah. Well, the busy, I guess you call it manual method. Get a bunch of coaxial cable.
No.
Okay, let's
not get into ridiculous land. The best thing for us is to get a provider somewhere else and to go through our internet server here to reach that provider and do all this stuff.
That's
really the best way.
Because
when you're talking about putting a server here, that's out of the question.
Okay.
It would cost us $50,000, and forget that. we can't even afford to think $50,000 while we're dreaming. In the middle of the night.
if you could get the line. The line really wouldn't be that much if you're like in an urban place.
Yeah, but we're not, so it's useless to even discuss it. We can't do it here.
Yeah.
It's absolutely out of the question. Just to get two lines for the office where we originally started out was a big deal, and then when we needed four, they had to come in. With bulldozers and trench diggers and rearrange the place and lay new cable and all that kind of stuff, and it cost us a fortune. So anyway, we're about out of time, and I want to see if I can get one more person in here. I really thank you for calling and for your advice, and I appreciate that very much.
Hey, anytime.
Thank you very much. 520-333-4578 if you're out there and you've got something that we forgot to talk about or that you know that we don't know that nobody's mentioned so far. And I'm particularly interested in really, how many megabytes do we need to do this? Will 50 megabytes do it? Will 75 megabytes do it? Do we need 100 megabytes? 200's out of the question. We can't afford that. And I really don't think 25 is going to be enough. Although I may be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I need you to tell me. 520-333-4578. We've only got a couple of minutes. So if you're sitting there vacillating, just please get on the phone and call. And don't wait around because very shortly we're going to have to say adios, amigos, and head on down the road. Don't forget that the hour of the time may be shifting its time slot on shortwave beginning on Monday. It will not change for anybody else, only for shortwave. So everybody else, you'll still be able to hear it at this time. And you'll still be able to hear the rerun at the later time. But on shortwave, they will be hearing the rerun if we make this shift. And they'll be hearing it at 11 Eastern instead of 6 Eastern. Now, on Monday, tune in to the hour of the time. It's 6 Eastern. If you don't hear us, that means that you will be able to hear us at 11 Eastern. If you do hear us at 6 Eastern on shortwave on Monday, that means we have not made the switch, and just listen to our broadcast to find out if and when we're going to do it. And that's it, folks. We're out of time now. So good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. This is The Voice of Freedom. Thank you. thank all those who called in to help us with this problem, and shame on those of you who could have helped us but didn't call. And if you still like to help, then you can call me in the office tomorrow morning between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific. I'll be here. If you can help, then call me and let me know how you can help or what you know that I don't know that will help us get this job done. Thank you so much. Don't forget to tune in to the Hour of the Time later at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, for the rerun of today's live broadcast of the Hour of the Time. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
Stay tuned now for All Oldies Most of the Time. Classic radio like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by.
Back to me, whispering that.